God bless you and make you a blessing is our usual greeting for meditation moments. And we're so glad that you're tuned in. Will you bow your heads for just a wee word of prayer? Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of speaking about Thee. And we thank Thee for Thy precious word that we shall enlarge upon. And we ask Thee, Lord, that Thou will give openness of mind and heart to the things that Thou hast laid upon our heart to say. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's something of a tragedy, isn't it, when there's such a wonderful balm, oh, such a provision for the needs of dear ones, that we say so little about it, that we don't have such a sacrificial spirit in getting the word out, when there is such transforming power with the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet we're so silent about it. I want to talk just a little bit about that for a few moments. Every morning before I get up, there's a few things that I say to the Lord. I go through the 23rd Psalm and I say the Lord's Prayer. And I always say the first Psalm and then the 11th and 12th chapter for Hebrews. I go through quite a number of scriptures that bless my own heart and seem to prepare me for the day. But this particular Psalm, I want to read it to you, this first Psalm. And I think that most of you may know it, perhaps memorized it long ago, but this first verse, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Now those words, "nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." You know, so many radio programs today, there's a scorning of the things of Christ, and it seems like nothing is sacred anymore. And so much of the news is slanted towards the liberal and modernism and communism. And some of the leaders that we'd expect so much from, it seems as if they're on the side that isn't the side of Christ or of blessing for this nation. And just let any honest-hearted person attempt to accomplish something worthwhile, and immediately there's suspicion thrown upon them, or jeers are released. And let any woman begin a work of mercy and love for the unfortunate, and she's criticized and condemned by others. And any church member that will stand up and lay hold of a worthy piece of work and that no one else seems to be interested in, and then many will instantly protest that he's trying to run the church. There's so much criticism for those that are taking a stand for the Lord. In a measure, I can understand why some people do not want to be outspoken for the Lord Jesus Christ. They come to a place where they are fearful, and they don't sit themselves in the seat of the scornful, but they're afraid of these scornful ones and the ones that would ridicule them. But some of the greatest people of the ages in history have been scorned for their stand. I think Washington was probably the most eminent ruler the United States ever had, and was so loved, but when he was leading the ragged Continentals at Valley Forge, and oh, their feet were bleeding, their bodies were hungry, and there were those who were sitting at home in comfortable chairs by blazing fires, and they criticized him. They said, "Why, he's been twice a traitor, and Washington has authorized the robbery and ruin of his own party." And you know the story of Abraham Lincoln, where one national known editor even wrote that Lincoln ought to be hanged, that he betrayed the people and he was a cancer on the body of politics. And there is a lot of criticism, and it does make it hard for people to testify today, to witness to the power and the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ, or to stand on the right. And they'll be called everything from an extremist in the fringe of lunacy, an extreme fanatical rightist, and all. I will say that even public servants pay a dreadful price for the privilege and honor of serving even their country. And true, every Christian who strives to faithfully bear witness for his Lord is going to pay dearly for his courage and his fidelity. Peter declared long ago, "Know this, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Now the paths of service are crimson with the blood of suffering. Hearts have been broken and hopes have been blasted, and souls are needlessly wounded by thoughtless, cruel ministry of those who are willing to occupy front seats among the scornful. These people that sit on the seat of the scornful that jeer at God's people and make it hard for one, as I say, to testify, to witness to the things of Christ. Oh, I love those words of the psalmist. "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." It was the same, though, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in our, when he was a national hero and was the idol of the multitude, but when the curtain rang down on his ministry, men of religious bigotry and political malice unsheathed the sword of hatred, and they deserted him. And at his arrest, all of his disciples fled for their lives. At the cross, there was but one of his chosen apostles who dared to stand by. And when he died, he left on earth 11 cowards, it seems to me, and one traitor. You know Paul, the one with the pulsing heart. He was the controlling mind of the early church. You remember what he said in his hour of direst need. He said, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed. Crescens is gone, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. And at my last trial no man stood with me, all men forsook me." The majority of Paul's friends weren't able to face the lions and the sword of the fiery martyrdom. They clung tenaciously to their seat among the scornful. They have many cowards in our time also. I've had some experience along this line, not so awfully long ago. A young woman that had been greatly blessed in the ministry, and God had healed her marvelously. And she went to tell someone about it, and she said, "Oh, I just had the most marvelous doctor, and he did such a wonderful work." And then she added in a whisper, just a bare whisper, to this party. She said, "And of course the Lord helped. The Lord helped a little," she said, but she said it in a whisper. And of course the Lord helped a little. Well, I turned to her and I said, "Now, you did have a good doctor, but," I said, "you've got a very jealous God. And the Lord healed you through the prayers of all your friends, and I prayed for you desperately. And," I said, "the doctor helped a little, and the Lord did the work." And true, the doctor did help some, but the Lord did the work. But she was ashamed, it seemed, of this. A friend complained of the blasphemy of a certain program, and I said, "Did you write in or protest?" She said, "Oh, goodness, no, they would have published my name in my letter." Well, those that stand against Christ and the things that you believe, they don't mind having their names published. Sitting one time in the parlor car of a Southern Pacific train, a Christian woman that I knew, the conversation between three people took on a vitriolic tone towards the Bible and towards Christ, and she soon couldn't stand it any longer, and she got up and left. She never said one word of protest. She gave the least witness to her faith before those people. You know, there's something tragic about that when we've got so much to witness to, and we let those that sit in the seat of the scornful put fear into us. It's an awful thing when you think that when we have so much to witness to and such a wonderful Lord, and there can be such transformation in these lives, and yet we don't tell them about the balm that there is in Gilead. You know, we used to sing a hymn in Sunday school. I think I've quoted it to you a number of times. "Dare to be a Daniel and dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose true and dare to make it known." Oh, I wish that someone saved one listening in right now would have the courage to trust God for your salvation, and then help us stand out for his truth, declare your allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Do you have the courage to do that? Oh, what a changed life you would have, and what a witness you could be for the right and for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's word says, "I say unto you, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner who repenteth, and over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Oh, God, help you to have courage to stand out for the cause of Christ in this dark day. Oh, it's needed so very much. And surely you owe the Lord Jesus Christ that much loyalty that you'll not listen to the scornful or sit anywhere near the seat of the scornful. God help you to have the courage to speak for him. He's still on the throne, and prayer will change things for you.